One pair of hands on the mountains, one pair of hands on the sea, one pair of hands made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands on the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
more than one. said, let us go down in the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, and let us look into the affairs of man. Sounds like more than one. He had accomplices with him, the angels who were with him in heaven, and I do believe that they were creating along with him the vast expanse that we see here, the heavens and the earth. All of the great things that are upon the earth, the birds and all the marvelous little creatures. It's just amazing to just to sit and in a park or in a quiet place or out in the woods and just watch the little creatures as they scurry around having their activities. There must be a purpose for them. And we take all this for granted. But there was an intelligence behind it. And so then we're going to try to fit the correct language of the Hebrew into the scriptures. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth, verse 1. Now, the next verse, and the earth was out without form and void. According to Scofield and Chambers and other biblical scholars, something dramatic may have occurred. Listen to this now. These are some of the major scholars. They think that something could have occurred between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, the time span between the first and second verses, that the translators missed or couldn't pick up on simply because they weren't familiar or they used the wrong word in the English to try to transfer the thought of the Hebrew. It was actually, the translators were very inaccurate, and some of this was based on their assumptions without studying or going into deeper revelation of the Hebrew language. And so, with the fact that we see here that the early translators indeed translated the words correctly, or that they tried to make the words fit to what they always assumed was a creation factor. In Genesis 1 and 2, the use of the word was from the Hebrew haya, indicating that something may have occurred beyond what these King James translators wrote or believed. According to Strong's Concordance, a great guide to the Hebrew words, this word can mean to be. In the beginning, the heavens and earth were created, and the earth was to become void, become. Also, it came to pass, or it come to pass, a span of time. Or, as we said, to become, or to fall out. And the earth was without form and fell or fallen out. Something fell between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, verse 2, 1 and 2. Now, the word without form in the above translated from the Hebrew, toya, which can mean to lie waste, at that which is wasted, or a place of chaos, or a place of confusion. Now, I have long said in my argument that there was a gap between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and verse 2, that there is a large span of time that is not taken into consideration with the translators, and therefore the people that just read the Bible as it is stated in the English sometimes fail to get the message that is on the scripture account in the Hebrew correction. Without form can mean to lay waste. which is wasted or a place of chaos and confusion. Now, my question is this. How could your Creator, who is light, and in Him is no darkness, if He created anything that wasn't in Him, how could He accomplish such a matter? He could not create darkness and chaos or something to lay waste or that is wasted unless someone perverted His creation. Now, that's what I want you to think about. Is there a time period between Genesis 1, verse 1, and Genesis verse 2 of chapter 1? The earth, it seems, had become a place of chaos and waste. Now, who comes to mind when you're thinking about these things? Who would come to mind and who would do such a thing? Tonight, on part 2 of the Acts of the Serpent, or Trailing the Serpent, we're going to discover that Satan was in the very beginning before. Now this is what I want you to grasp. Before there was a heaven and an earth. Now, I told you last night that this heaven that we've got and this earth will pass away, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And it's coming, ladies and gentlemen. And the way things are going in this earth and in this time frame, it's going quicker than you could ever imagine. And the reason why is because of this very verse, chapter 1, verse 2, the earth became a place of chaos and waste. I want to ask you, of all the things that's being done upon the earth, how many acts and how many instances can you think about or come to mind where it's completely evil? Is evil prevailing? Is our earth once again, as it says in the scripture, nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been? Is the earth coming to a point where there's going to be chaos and waste? Now listen to this scripture. Unless there comes a falling away, the end shall not come. Let me repeat that. The Bible says in the last days it will be like the days of Sodom, the days of Gomorrah. People running to and fro, seeking rest and finding none. Disobedient to their parents, unthankful and unholy, the children have become a gang of wild beasts as they marauder around through the malls where they congregate, and in the halls of the high schools, and in the grade schools now. They've got iron bars. They've got gates and locks. They've got electronics to let you in and out through doors. They've got police dogs and policemen that are having to guard our children. Unheard of, unprecedented, and it's all because of this word, chaos and waste. Brings to mind the city of confusion, Babylon. Void. Was the earth, now here's the question, was the earth, would Yahweh create something without form and void? Or did something happen to bring it that way? Was there a time that it become void and in chaos and in darkness? If you look at the verse, the way that you are to surmise that something of great importance, if you know the language, occurred between the first and second verses of Genesis chapter 1. Again, let me read it. God created the heaven and the earth. Now, interestingly enough, The word heaven in the original Hebrew is singular. When we look at the end of the six-day creation, we read the heavens. The earth will finish and all the host of them, Genesis 2 and 1. Now, it is in the plural. Why? Could the first heaven have been created at the time of Genesis 1 and 1, and another heaven, possibly one of many, have been created at the end of the six-day creation? It is possible that there was more than one heaven, each created and subsequently destroyed. Could a new one have replaced the former at the time of the six-day creation? And if you look deeper, why would he create a world that was formless and void? Isn't creation thought to be a finished product? For thus saith Yahweh that created the heavens. Here it is, in a plural, but in Genesis 1 and 1, it is singular. Yahweh himself that formed the earth, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am Yahweh, and there is none else. Isaiah 45:18. Many people believe that the Bible never contradicts itself. Therefore, Isaiah 45:18 tells us that Yahweh made the earth and established it not in vain. Could there have been a previously established world that God needed to destroy for whatever reason, like the heaven? Did God create another world to replace the former? Now, ladies and gentlemen, it gets very interesting. Before we pass through the 6 days to examine the Hebrew Scriptures again, we find that at the end of 6 days, there was not a man to till the ground. Although, in Genesis 1:26, it says that man was created. Was there a disturbance? Was there chaos? Was there darkness? Was there evil that came in at this time to pronounce itself upon the mighty ones, even themselves roaring in the heavens about these things, and therefore the chaos and the tribulation of the heavens being shaken, which the Bible says everything that can't remain will be shaken, even that which is created today. Now, let me say again, the gap, the theory that I'm projecting here tonight is a time between Genesis 1, verse 1, and Genesis 1, verse 2. The gap theory assumes that the planet, in the wording of Genesis 1, was created by God. There is a well-organized, harmonious order of the earth, known as the world, which was also created at the same time, and according to the original Hebrew wording, it seems that Yahweh was not satisfied with the previous world and destroyed it, and the planet remained, however. Our current world was formed from the ashes of the former world's indistinguishable ruin, reworked. Again, Yahweh, as noted in our six-day creation, the earth stayed the same. But at least two harmonized arrangements known as worlds were fashioned by Yahweh, and the following verses will reinforce the multiple world theory. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, Yahweh Shua, in a flesh body, whom he hath appointed an heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, plural. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's an interesting thought for you to take in account and chew on it a while and see if you can digest by chewing the information and knowing that Yahweh had to do something between Genesis 1, verse 1, and verse 2, a long, prolonged time that the earth became void and dark. That means if he created them in righteousness, the first earth, the first heaven, and someone sought to pervert it, that would have mean that Yahweh could have stepped in and destroyed or rearranged, if you will, the first world, just like he did in Genesis chapter 6, when he brought the flood and he destroyed the ungodly, that's the children of Yahweh, not the world. The evil ones had already performed their doings from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 or 14 and 15, when Satan himself entered again. Now, my theory here is that Satan destroyed the first world, turned it into a chaotic and a dark place, and that Yahweh, who we hear in the second world say, I repent. I repent. I'm sorry. I apologize. I made a mistake. I should have never done it. I repent that I've ever made man and placed him upon the earth. Now why? What great, tragic, catastrophic event happened to make Yahweh repent that he'd ever made man? Now, it saddens me to know that our Creator was very disappointed in our performance. Only a short time from Genesis, remember the eighth-day man, Adam, that I've talked about many times? That he came, and there was not a man to till the ground, after Genesis 1:26, where he said he made God. God made man, the beast of the field. And there was not, in the time that he rested, after he rested in the seventh span. And there's an interesting thought there. How long did Yahweh rest after he made these first two creatures, man and the beast of the field, and the cattle and the creeping thing? How long did he rest until he decided to make something new when he made Adam and breathed into Adam? He didn't create Adam, he made him. Adam was a thought after the 6 days. Adam had a usage, and a strange usage at that, when it says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish. Now, I know that some people have a little trouble with that word replenish in the Hebrew, and rightly so. However, there was a reason that Yahweh wanted to actually create something that would be above whatever he'd done in Genesis 1:26 and 1:27. When he said, to rule the earth. This last man, Adam, and the word Adam comes from blushing red. There is a people in the earth that are gifted with the genetics, with a strange set of genetics greater than that which was of Genesis chapter 1:26 and 1:27. These were gifted. package, if you will, created to rule over everything that God had created, both, listen to me now, we'll get a little bit deeper here for you, in heaven and in earth. In heaven and in earth, man will rule over the angels. What? Know you not that you are saints judging angels? Now, how did that come in? Ladies and gentlemen, the heavens and the earth was created not for the angels, but for Adam. Satan, in objection, in rebellion, he decided that he would do a little creating himself. And so then, I believe in the span of the chaos and the darkness between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 of chapter 1, that there was a chaotic, unpredictable element of creation that got out of control. Satan sowed his seed in Genesis chapter 3. Now, Yahweh said very clearly and very distinctively that he would curse or put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Now, let's examine the word serpent. It doesn't mean a snake, a wriggling, rippling snake. It means a creature on two legs, handsome, very knowledgeable, with a plan, a chaotic plan to plunge. Remember, the book says he gave his son to be heir over the worlds, not the world, the worlds. And if you believe that this is the only world, then you're in for a great surprise, because there are other worlds, and the Bible speaks of them, and Satan has been guilty of trying to pollute. We know this one, that he's already polluted. The acts of the devil is very obvious. He come to kill, he come to steal, he come to destroy. He loves darkness. In him is no light, and in Yahweh is no darkness. Now look at the contrasting of the two mighty ones. Now this great angel, and we do have parents, ladies and gentlemen, we do have those that are called parents. Now, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, why would you say that we have parents? Well, simply because that Yahweh directed the flow of our life through the word of Yahweh, which is a strong tower. The righteous, they do run into it, and they are safe. And so then, with the world in chaos, the first one, the world or the earth created without form, void, did something happen to bring it into the dark, chaotic? Did it become a process of time? Do we have evidence of a reconditioned earth, if you will, a retread, to make the second attempt to bring man into order? Because the first experiment certainly went astray. So he brought in Adam and said, be fruitful and multiply and rule the earth. Well, Satan, in objection, because he is the god of this world. Have you ever thought about that? Let me repeat that. Satan is the god of this world. 1 Corinthians 4 and 4. Satan is the god of this world. Now, how did he get to be that way? By bringing in a seed out of order to create darkness. create the ability to give Satan the power to prolong the inevitable by deceiving the righteous who are set to inherit the kingdom. And Satan made a very distinctively move back in the Garden of Eden when he overshadowed Eve. Just like Yahweh overshadowed Mary in a little town up in Galilee, Satan for sure overshadowed Eve and impregnated her without the knowledge of her husband. Satan became the fornicator. Eve became the fornicator. Why? Because she was unfaithful to her husband. She didn't have no knowledge. We are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, especially when we're told and we disobey. She was told not to have any kind of relationship with the devil. And you say, well, where does it say that at, Pastor Buddy? Of the all the trees in the garden. Now, I know the carnal mind is going to jump in here and give you a hard way to go, because most carnal minds are not subject to the Word of God, and neither can be. So how do we reconcile the trees to be mighty ones of the universe, the family of heaven, who at this time had the run of the earth, and that they were here in mass, walking around in what we call the Garden of Eden. Now, the Garden of Eden was not a cultivated field of natural trees. Notice what he said. Notice exactly how that the earth shook in 2 Samuel. The earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was angry. He bowed the heavens and he came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he made darkness the pavilions round about him. Dark waters, thick clouds of the skies. And he sent out arrows, and he scattered them, and discomforted them. And the channels of the sea appeared, and the foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of Yahweh. Psalms 18:1. I love you, Yahweh, my strength. The sorrows of death have compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men have made me afraid. Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations also and the hills moved and were shaken because it was wroth. He bowed the heavens and he came down, and darkness was under his feet. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds and skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and fire, chaos. And Yahweh thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, and great hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomforted them. And then the channels of water were seen, and the fountains of the world were discovered at the rebuke of Yahweh. In the flood, Noah, we have an account of the earth shaking and trembling with no hailstones. There was only 40 days of rain. And as we notice in both of these verses, the foundations of a new world were soon after discovered. Why? Again, in the words of Genesis 1 and 2, and the earth was out form and void. Now, considering the gap theory, couldn't Genesis 1 and 2 begin to seem no more like a description of a planet that became without form and void rather than newly formed? Why would the Creator create something already demolished? according to Genesis 1:28, Yahweh instructs Adam to be fruitful and to multiply and replenish the earth. Why would Adam need to replenish a world that was brand new? Could the current world truly be a reformation of some world of the past? Is there mysteries that lay at the bottom of our oceans covered? Is some of this chaotic and darkness and creation, does it lay deep within the bowels of our ocean, who Yahweh has seen fit to cover and to hide from our eyes until the time of the revelation is to come to offer us a new world, a new heaven, and a new earth wherein, now listen to this, this is important, this is the difference between the world one and the world two and the new world, world three. Speaks about three different worlds. The world of a chaotic, dark, foreboding place that became that way by the acts of the serpent. And we are delivering this message to you tonight to open your mind, to expand your ability to think in terms of the disappointment that our father had with the acts of the serpent and his cohorts who broke rank from the heavenlies and went a-whoring and went a-fornicating and turned this present world as we live in, who Satan now has become the God because he truly has offspring here in the earth. Yahweh is not the author of confusion. I'm going to repeat that. Yahweh is not the author of confusion. He's not the author of darkness. He is the creator who gave us the light to walk by, and in him is no darkness. He is the light of the world, and he gave you and me the opportunity to once again stand in the gap. Now, this gap is between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and the mystery lays between that time and verse 2, when there was a reformulation of a world in chaotic and had become chaotic and dark and void, because Yahweh creates perfect. And the ones he placed here were disobedient. They became pursuers of the evil and the things that they taught the earthlings, especially the Genesis 1:26 man. Now, the Genesis 1:26 man is different from the Genesis 2 man, where Yahweh rested after the seventh day, and for a fact, you say, oh no, he just created and he quit in 6 days. Well, how did he bring Adam into the earth? By what vehicle, by what means, by what technology did he bring Adam? Because the Bible said there was not a man to till the ground. Well, isn't it strange that Cain, when he was born, was a tiller of the ground? And yet Yahweh revoked his privileges of tilling the ground and said it wouldn't yield to him. And for Adam, for listening and hearkening to his wife, he cursed the ground for Adam's sake. He didn't curse Adam. And then here come the evil briars and the weeds. You ever wondered about the briars and the weeds, how they grow. You don't have to till them. You don't have to fertilize them. But for the plants that you're trying to grow for, eat, or you grow them by the sweat of your face. You have to till them. You have to guard them from frost. You have to guard them from the pestilence, the bugs. Everything is an enemy to a plant that is to help man survive. Now man has tilled the earth, breaking Yahweh's laws and his commandments, failing to let the land rest. The land has become overburdened, overworked, to where we have to actually put artificial fertilizers instead of having the blessings for Yahweh to give us the blessings and the prayers for our fields. I remember the times back in the 30s and the 40s when men would gather up and they would pray over our fields and our crops and ask Yahweh to bless the planting and the harvesting. That's when we depended on the earth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're eating GMO food brought forth from something out of a plant system that didn't exist in the time that Adam was created. The weeds are the same. They grow irregardless of whether they got fertilizer or not. You don't have to fertilize them. You don't have to plant them. Have you ever heard anybody say, I'm going to go out and plant a weed? Ladies and gentlemen, you just plant a good crop and see if the weeds don't appear. That's Satan. That's the chaotic conditions of the world that existed between Genesis verse 1 and Genesis verse 2. The world became dark and void. It became chaotic. Sin, the god of this world, who was finally, through his disobedience, was cast out of heaven, the weed, let's say. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you go to heaven, you don't have to plant. You don't have to toil. You don't have to labor. No unclean thing is going to walk this highway to get there, because Satan, the weed, the tare, better described in the parables as a tare, the tare is the one that sowed the chaotic, dark, foreboding conditions of the first world. In the second world, he perverted the reformulation by planting the weed in the womb of Eve. Out came a killer. Out came a reptilian. Out came an evil one. Oh yeah, he loved to worship Yahweh. He brought his offering that he had growed, and he brought it up to Yahweh. Abel, his half-brother, he brought a covering of blood for his mother's sins, who ministrates 12 times a year from her vagina, out her mouth. She did eat some kind of forbidden fruit off of a tree. The fruit was the sperm that her vagina hungered for. She was excited. She was all worked up. She desired the seed from the serpent. And he planted this seed, unbeknownst to Adam. And again, the chaotic conditions was born again by Satan, the god of this world. 1 Corinthians 4:4. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with our message tonight is that it doesn't fit the translators or the mental concept or the traditions that the world has embarked upon. What are we going to do? We're going to hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We're going to fear Yahweh. He said to Adam, because you have done this, done what? Adam was not deceived. The Bible says he wasn't. So you can't talk here that he was deceived. He did it knowingly. He could not resist any more than Eve could resist the powers of Satan. Adam could not resist the power of the knowledge of knowing that he himself was a creator. That he himself could get sons and daughters in his likeness. Because Eve had told him so, and she was told by the serpent, the devil, the god of this world, the chaotic, the dark one. And so, the seed, the evil tare, the weed, was born into this world from the chaotic, dark conditions of the first world. And we have a continuation now of the seas warring, light and darkness, up and down, in and out. We have the contrast and the polarities, if you will, of opposites. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a paradox of mystery. Satan, the dark one, Yahweh, the light one, choose this day who you will serve. Are you going to follow the plan of Satan? Are you going to perform the acts of Satan? Oh, it's easy to sin. Oh, it feels so good to sin. The Bible said that bread eaten in secret places, if you meet and rendezvous with your potential lover, and we are grown through sexual expressions, a woman that looks good or a man that looks good, we're drawn automatically toward beauty. It is nature for man to seek beauty. And yet beauty is vain. And you who are deceived by beauty are not wise. Because beauty sometimes exacts and demands a terrible price for a man to pay. I've noted just good men being brought to ruination through the beauty of a woman. An evil woman. A whorish woman. Solomon said this, a good man, one in a thousand, I found. But a good woman, I haven't found. Solomon had so many disastrous accounts and encounters with a woman. You could be a good-looking man, and all of the women, be them ugly or beautiful, will present themselves to you or throw themselves under you if they can, simply because they're attracted to beauty. Eve desired the seed of the serpent. And he gave it to her, and she produced it. And remember this, be not deceived, for Yahweh is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Are you with me tonight on this message of the acts of Satan? Can you see the chaotic and the dark and the foreboding condition of the world today? Just like it was in the chaotic and dark world that became dark and chaotic through the Satan's attempt to turn the first world into the things that are not permissible in the kingdom of heaven. And therefore, by his doing it again in the book of Genesis chapter 3, by the deeds that he done, the seed that he sowed, once again, the dark and the chaotic seed entered the world again. We have the blood-drinking vampires of the satanic reptilians here present upon the earth. And ladies and gentlemen, a word to you and the wise. Beware of Satan. He's beautiful. His people are beautiful. Hollywood is beautiful. The flesh worship, the idol worshipers. Satan relishes beauty. He espouses beauty. He produces beautiful people. From his loins came Cain, a master artist. Also, a builder, an engineer, and a constructor. And he's built this world in its chaotic conditions. He's built up a magnificent place that people envy. They can't wait to get to New York. They can't wait to get to Los Angeles. They can't wait to get to Chicago, Illinois. And it's the nightlife. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, down in Miami, Florida, the worshipers of idols, the beast of the field, these heathen, they rage and foam at their mouth. They go to the stadiums and they pound their chests like animals. And they carry on the idol worship as they cheer up and down the field. Every move is made by their idols. Yahweh said, "Seek me. Do not seek the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you." Does these things turn you on? Are you drawn to them? If you are, you are taken by the cunning craftiness of the beguiler who lies in wait to deceive even the very elect. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my time is coming on here tonight on the Acts of the Serpent. I'll be back Monday night around the world on WWRV 3.185 Clear Channel, the transmitting Jewel of the South. We are being transmitted tonight on 3.185 and 5050. Also, we are being simulcast on the worldwide internet. So it's very easy for you to hook up and to pull us in either on shortwave, on internet, radio. We appreciate you tonight, for sure. The sponsor tonight, the Brother Mark and Sister Audrey out of the great state of Mississippi. I'd like to give you my radio address. And if you'd like to write tonight for this series of the Acts of the Serpent or Trailing the Serpent, either one, we'll make sure that you get this by just writing Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. Now, that's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, with the zip being 37824. Ladies and gentlemen, the time of the crossing has come. The time of the crossing was in Genesis 1 to Genesis 2. We reformated the area of the world that was created, and there we begin again to do the things that was not pleasing in the sight of Yahweh. And today, the world is returning to the dark and the void conditions as it was in Genesis chapter 1, long before the flood, long before Sodom and Gomorrah. We got these things from the first world carried over, and the evil ones who are perverters, who are killers, who are stealers, and who are destroyers. Do you know and can you believe that the Bible said that they will, in the final attempt, that they will finally try to destroy this earth? Read the book of Revelation. They will seek to destroy this earth. And Yahweh will return once again like he did in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, when he returned then in flame and fire. And he took vengeance on them that know not Yahweh. He's coming, ladies and gentlemen. We're going right back to the time where that Satan perverted the very things that Yahweh had made in righteousness and light. You can call me tonight. I'm live around the world on the Saturday evening, joining you live here on WWRB. Call me at area code 423-626-2172. Now that's area code 423-626-2172. I'll see you Monday evening on WWRB, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Yahweh bless you, and I love you.